One day a man came to Jesus asking for help. The man was wealthy, he was highly respected, he was well known in his community, and he was desperate. He was desperate because his daughter was sick, but she wasn't just sick, it was really, really bad. We don't know exactly what the illness was, but we know that it was bad enough that unless Jesus came to help her, and quickly, she would not survive the day. The man was so desperate, he came to Jesus and literally threw himself at Jesus' feet, begging for help. Mark tells us the story in Mark chapter 12. It says, "Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. 'My little daughter is dying,' he said. 'Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live.' And Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him." Have you ever begged God for something? Not just asked politely, but desperately on your face before God, saying something like this: "God, I really need you to come through for me. I really need your help. God, please do something." That's exactly where this man was. He was desperate for help. But not only was he desperate, he was in a hurry. Because as long as she's alive, there's still hope. There's still something that could be done. But if Jesus doesn't get there in time, then it's too late and there's nothing anyone can do to help her. And so they're on the way. Jesus says, "Let's go." They're on the way and the man is beginning to regain some hope. He's saying to himself, "Jesus is coming to the house. It's going to work out. It's going to be okay." And then all of a sudden, everything changes. Because verse 25 says that there was a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with a chronic illness. And as they're walking along, there's just this massive crowd pressing in, and that's slowing things down already. But then a woman who had this illness, she presses through the crowd and she reaches out and just touches Jesus' robe. And as soon as she does, the sickness she had had for 12 years, she's healed instantly. Jesus realized immediately something had happened, and all of a sudden he stops. And so there's this whole crowd moving along and everything comes to a stop when Jesus stops, and everybody's like, "What is this? What's going on?" And Jesus turns around and he says, "Somebody just was healed. Who was that?" And he begins to have a conversation with this woman. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had been this father, I'd be really frustrated. We've got to get there before it's too late. I'm in a hurry. We don't have time for this conversation right now. We have to get there right now. And then the worst thing that could happen happens. In verse 35, it says, "While Jesus was still speaking to her, messengers came from the home of Jairus and told him, 'Your daughter has died. There's no use troubling the teacher now.'" All of a sudden, he finds out it's too late. As long as she was still alive, there was hope. There was still a chance. Maybe something could be done. But now, it's too late. Because there was an interruption. Because he stopped and had a conversation. Now, there is no hope left in the story as far as he's concerned. Now, I think a lot of times we have a tendency to look at stories like this and not really be that impacted by them because we see these stories from a safe distance of 2,000 years. On top of that, if you've heard this story before, you know how it ends. But the difficulty is, we don't know how our own stories end, and that's where it's hard to have faith. Maybe you've been in a situation like this where you needed God to come through for you, but all of a sudden it was too late. God didn't come through in time, and now you feel like you're without any hope. Some of you are in that place right now because something went wrong in your life. Something happened that never should have happened to you. And when it first happened, you were worried, but there was a part of you that said, "This can still work out. If this happens, if this prayer is answered, it's going to be okay." But that prayer hasn't been answered yet. It didn't work out. It actually has gotten worse. And yet now today, you feel as though you're about to lose hope. And that's where this father was. He was desperate, and now he's grieving because he's given the news that it's too late. Nothing can help her now because God did not come through in time. What do you do then? Jesus turns to Jairus and tells him to do what must have seemed absolutely impossible. In verse 36, it says this, Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." As they're telling him, it's too late, there's no hope, there's no point any longer, just give up. Jesus steps into that conversation and he says, Jairus, look at me, don't listen to them. You need to know something. There's still hope. I want you to trust me right now. How do you do that when this has happened? I mean, it's one thing when you're on the way to help and there's still hope, when something could still be done, but when the deadline has passed, when it is too late, when the need wasn't met, how do you trust God then? You know what Jesus was saying to him when he said, don't be afraid, just have faith? He was saying something like this. I know what this looks like. I know it looks like all hope is lost. I know it looks like it's too late, but you need to know something. This is not the last page in the story. Some of you here today need to hear that because you're in the middle of what looks like it is absolutely hopeless. Maybe God didn't come through for you in time. Maybe the prayer wasn't answered the way you hoped it would be. The sickness wasn't healed. The relationship wasn't restored. The financial need wasn't met. What you feared most would happen actually did happen. If that's where you are this morning, you need to know you are not in the final chapter of the story yet. Because there is another chapter ahead that is filled with hope. You may not see it tomorrow, next month, or even next year, but there is a day coming when hope will be renewed. Paul tells us that for the believer in Christ, for the follower of Christ, there is a day coming when the joys we will experience will so far outweigh the trials and the tragedies we have experienced in this life. And it may not seem possible because right now we're in the middle of it still. We're still on that page where sometimes the pain and the trials and the sorrow seem to outweigh and overshadow the joy. But Paul says there is a day coming when joy will so far overshadow the pain. Let me give you an example just to illustrate this. Do you realize that from today, the year 2020 is 101 days away? Isn't that ridiculous? 101 days from now, it's going to be the year 2020. Just imagine January 1st, you have one of those days. It's a really bad day. You wake up and you have a splitting headache. You reach for the Advil and the bottle's empty. So you go to the store to pick some up. You swipe your debit card and it's denied because turns out you spent way too much on Christmas. There's not even enough in your account to cover just that bottle of Advil. So you jump in the car. You think maybe I can scrounge up enough cash at home. You're on your way home. Bam, guy runs through a stop sign, hits your car. You're not injured, but you get out and you see the car and you're like, ah, this is really bad. This is going to cost thousands of dollars. And it's just one of those things, right? So then you get home and when you pull in the driveway, you get a phone call from a coworker and they say, hey, did you hear what happened? They're downsizing. We just lost our jobs. And all day long, it just gets worse and worse and worse. Like stuff like that just keeps on happening. That's January 1st. That's a really bad day. But then January 2nd, you get a phone call from another company and they offer you your dream job. Like the job you've always wanted, the job you hoped for but thought would never happen. They say, we want you to come here and do this job. And they offer you more than double the salary from the job you just lost. That's January 2nd. That's a good day. January 3rd rolls around. You get a check from the insurance company covering the entire replacement value of your car. And it's actually $5,000 more than that. That's January 3rd. January 4th, you get a letter from a lawyer informing you you just inherited $1 million from an unknown relative, somebody you didn't even know you were related to. January 5th, you're in the store walking around. You see that piece of paper on the floor and you're thinking, is that? And you pick it up and yeah, it is. It's a lottery ticket. But it's not just a lottery ticket. It's the lottery ticket. You just won $100 million. That's January 5th. That's a really good day, right? And all throughout the year, day after day, stuff like that keeps happening to you. Things that are just unrealistic that nobody would believe if you told them. For example, like your kids, they clean their room, they wash the dishes, they do their homework without you even asking them to. Your wife, she rubs your back. She gives you the remote and doesn't complain about it. She says, honey, I've been thinking, let's go ahead and get the NFL Sunday ticket. That's a really good day, right? Your husband picks up his socks, puts the toilet seat back down, buys you dinner, buys you flowers without you asking him to. I mean, just imagine all year long, every day, stuff like that keeps happening, and it's amazing. You come to the end of the year, December 31st, and somebody asks you, hey, how was this year for you? How are you going to answer that question? Are you going to talk about how bad January 1st was? Probably not. You're probably going to talk about how amazing the rest of the year was, right? Why? Because from January 2nd to December 31st, you had the best year of your life. You're going to say, it was amazing. There were things happened to me that I never dreamed possible. And yeah, January 1st was a bad day, but the rest of the year far outweighed the pain of that one day. Paul says that's what heaven will be like. Our time here and now, this is January 1st. Eternity in his presence, that's January 2nd through December 31st. That's why Paul says there is a day coming when the joys we will experience in the presence of God will so far overshadow the pain, the trials, the struggles we experience here and now. And that's why, after a desperate father hears the worst news a parent can ever hear, Jesus turns to him and he says, look at me. I want you to trust me right now. Don't give in to despair. Don't give in to hopelessness, because this is not the final page in your story. Her death was not the last page in the story. And maybe you're here today, whatever trial you're going through, whatever impossibility you are up against, whatever hurt you have to endure right now, that is not the last page in your story either. So how does this story end? Jesus shows up at the house where this girl has just lost her life. And when he gets there, the entire community is there. Like friends, neighbors, extended family, coworkers, everybody has come to the house to be there with this family, to support them in their time of loss. I am thankful that we live in a community just like that. Every time tragedy strikes, this community pulls together. Every time there is a need, every time there is a problem, this community comes together to help people out, to be there, to support each other, to encourage each other. It is one of our strengths, and it's one of the things that makes this town reflect the character and the love of Christ. I believe God has his hand on this community in a special way. You may not know this, but about 200 years ago, there was a massive revival in this area. And when that happened, over 3,000 people came right down here to the river. Over 3,000 people were baptized in this river, right here in our town. That's part of our history as a town. And I believe it's part of our future too, because I believe God's going to do it again. A lot of us are praying that God will do it again, because there's something special about this community. And I'm just going to say it right now. I believe with all my heart that this town, this is a place of healing. That this is a place of freedom over addictions. That this is a place of unity. That this is a place where families will grow stronger and healthier and more fulfilled. And that will continue to happen. I believe that with all my heart. This past week was closing night at Gigi's, which is a very sad thing. But every year, on the last night, she has someone lead in prayer for the final meal. This year, she led in prayer, and I wanted to share part of her prayer with you. She said, God, thank you for bringing this community together today. We are here for good times, but you always show us that we have strength and can accomplish so much when we stick together in the bad times. It is because of you we are such a tight-knit community. Amen. That's our home. And you and I get to be a part of that. And I'm so thankful. So Jesus arrives at the home of this little girl. He shows up in this community very much like our community. Neighbors and friends are gathered around with the grieving family. Now, in my Bible, this story takes two pages, page 639 and page 640. On page 639, there is no hope. On that page, it's too late. There's nothing that can be done. God didn't come through in time. Tragedy has struck, and nobody can do anything about it. And at the end of that page, a community is gathered together, grieving at this devastating loss. But that's not the end of the story. There's another page in this story. And on the next page, page 640, that page is filled with hope because something amazing happens. On the next page, Jesus walks into the home, past the grieving family, past the neighbors. He walks right into the room where this girl is. He speaks life to her, and immediately death flees in defeat. She grabs his hand and walks out of that room with him fully alive. Amazing. On page 639, there is no hope. But the next page, hope breaks through. Wherever you are today, whatever you're facing, it might look hopeless. It might look like there is nothing you can do, but there is another page in your story. And on that next page, hope awaits you. I don't know what that looks like for you. For some of you, it might be a miracle, like what Jesus did for this family. It might be a healing of a sickness. It might be financial provision. It might be reconciliation in a broken relationship. It might be that thing you've been praying for years. Finally, it happens. It might be one of those unexpected joys God somehow brings to us, even when we're still in the middle of tragedy. Or it might be the assurance of knowing that one day, when we see him face to face, every tear will be wiped away, every injustice will be made right, and there will be no more goodbyes. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I know this: wherever you are, hope is available. Some of you here today, you're in a very dark time. Things are not going well, and it's painful, and I hurt for you. I don't understand why what has happened to you has happened to you. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't have the answers. But I do know this: you are here today, right now, because Jesus wanted to say this to you. I know what this looks like. I know it looks like there is no hope, but you need to know I am here for you. You need to trust me, even though it's hard. Don't give in to despair. Don't give in to hopelessness, because right now you're only on page 639. On the next page, there is something amazing for you. I also need to say this. If you're hurting right now, please don't go through it alone. It always breaks my heart when someone is hurting and they are hopeless and they come to the end of themselves and they never reach out for help. If you are hurting, this community will be there for you. If you are hurting, these churches, every one of them represented here today, will be there for you. If you are hurting, the God who told a grieving father, I'm right here. I know it's really hard, but trust me, it's going to work out. He's there for you too. Don't go through it alone. If you're in a bad place right now, call out to the same one this father reached out to and ask a friend to be there for you too. One last thing I want to mention, and then Bailey Snyder is going to come and close us this morning. Maybe you're here and you're asking the question, what is that heaven thing you were talking about a few minutes ago? How can I know that that will be part of my story? What can I do to make sure that that is part of my story too? The simple answer is, it's trusting in Jesus like this father did. He came to Jesus because he knew there was no other answer. Jesus was the only one who could help him. And the same thing is true when it comes to our salvation and our eternity. Jesus is the only answer. Whoever you are and whatever you've done, you need to know Jesus loves you. And he came to this earth, died on a cross, rose again. He paid a high price to offer you forgiveness and freedom and hope. because he wants heaven to be part of your story too. If you have questions about that, please come and talk with one of us. That's why we're here. So Father, I want to thank you this morning for your amazing love. I thank you that you offer hope when it seems like none is available. I pray this morning that you would especially work in the hearts of anyone here today who is hurting, who is struggling, who feels hopeless. God, would you restore hope to them? Let them know how much you love them and that they are not alone. And I thank you for this community. I pray that we would pull together as a community and show love and support to each other, that no one who's going through difficulty would have to do it by themselves. We thank you for your amazing love, and thank you that you are the God of hope and comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for coming this morning.